Let's all stand. Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 23. Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" But he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priest, and also gave some to those who were with him?" Verse 27, and he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." Father, we thank you again for this time, and we thank you that we have gathered here, and I do pray that our hearts are open, ready to receive. So Holy Spirit, come, be our teacher. Show us the truth behind this passage, and help us, Lord, to leave this place, Lord, being able to explain why we love you. So bless this time, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Last week, as we looked at the previous section, Jesus had been talking with some young disciples, and they were the disciples of John the Baptist, as well as the Pharisees. And of course, we discovered that he came to reveal his mission through these parables, but he basically came to say that he did not come into this world to patch up an old religious system, but he came to do something new. And as we looked at the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the Old Testament versus the New, this is what we were challenged with, and that is God desires to do something new in our lives when we give him our heart. It's not about rules and regulations. It's about coming into a right relationship with God that he provided. It is because of Jesus that we have an opportunity to be forgiven of our sins. It's because of what Jesus did on the cross that we could be at peace with God. Again, nothing separating us anymore from having this amazing relationship. And it's because of Jesus, when he said those words, "It is finished" on the cross, there is nothing else that anybody could ever do to enter into this special relationship with God. He did it all, paid in full. Come on now. Listen, us adults, we know this. You make that last payment and you see that big red stamp, paid in full. Yeah. And so all of this is because of what Jesus did. And the purpose of him saying, "I'm here to do something new," we're not called to mix our old ways with what God wants to do in our new life. And so we looked at all of those things, and again, we're so blessed because it's Jesus who transforms our life. You know, one of the things that I pray that we would see is that every time we come, God desires to speak to us as a church, but also as individuals. God has a message for you today, and I pray that we come ready to receive so we can continue to grow in our relationship. And so not only did he do all of this, and he is the one transforming our lives, but again, when we study through his word, his desire is to set us free from sin. You know, what I love about the Lord, and I don't know if any of you have ever had this thought, but I'm super glad that we don't have to clean ourselves up before we come to the Lord. Right? You know, my son-in-law just went fishing the other day. Didn't invite me, but that's okay. And we, you know, for those of us in here who love fishing, you know, When is it that you clean the fish? You can talk to me. It's okay. When do you clean the fish? After you catch it. It doesn't jump in the boat already clean. That'd be pretty amazing. But the reality is, isn't that awesome that we come as we are, and God loves us too much to leave us that way. That's why he comes and transforms, and he begins this work in us. And so I'm blessed because, again, he set us up for victory. So not only does God want to continue the work that he started in us, but our part is to crucify the flesh, is to no longer mix our old ways with what God is doing now. Don't go backwards. Keep walking forward. And I just want to say this, even an inch forward is a victory. Go forward, don't look back. And that's what we were challenged with last week. And so Jesus, again, is desiring to continue to speak truth. And as we pick up in verse 23, notice with me that Jesus, along with his disciples, as they were walking through a grain field, the Bible tells us that it was on the Sabbath day. And so I could just imagine as they're traveling, talking with one another, that one of them or many of them gathered with their hand grain and they began to pick from a field. And if we were to look at another gospel account, which is the account of Luke, it would give us a little bit more detail. It's not that they just picked the grain and walked away. Luke tells us that they grabbed it, they smashed it in their hand to remove the part of the stem that is not necessary, whether they shook it out of their hand, blew it, but whatever remained in their hand was the grain that they could eat. And that's exactly what they did. And so in verse 24, we see that there were some unhappy people, which were the Pharisees. They were keeping their eye on Jesus. Remember, his ministry is blowing up. The last several times they've been questioning him, why are you doing this? Why are you not doing what we do? If you're really a holy man, why are you doing things differently? And I love the fact that as they were watching, now notice it says that they immediately now questioned Jesus. And what was their, you know, question? Look, why do your disciples do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? And I picture this, two siblings going to mom, look what they're doing. I know that they're in trouble. Look what they're doing. And these Pharisees, again, though they're questioning and pointing a finger at the disciples, who are they really pointing a finger to? Jesus, because they're his disciples. Are you going to allow this to happen? I mean, these are your students. What are you going to do about it? Because in their eyes, in the way that they viewed the law, these disciples were breaking it. Now, before I share Jesus' response, we need to understand what the Sabbath is and why these Pharisees were so upset. So when we look at the word the Sabbath or a Sabbath, God established this in Genesis chapter 2. It's very clear that after he created everything in 6 days, that on the seventh day he did no work, but he rested. Now, it's not because he was tired, okay? But he rested to give us a demonstration, an example of what this day should be for us. And the truth is, God commanded even his own people in Exodus chapter 20, you're going to work for 6 days, but on the seventh day, no work should be done. This is a day that I have consecrated. This is a day that is set apart in order to remember him, in order for them to worship him. I don't want anything to distract you. This day belongs to me. And so this is what God's word says about the Sabbath. Simple, no work, rest, not just physically, but spiritually. We rest in him. And so the purpose of the Sabbath was this, for God's people to spend the day with him, worshiping him, to grow in this relationship, this fellowship with him. And the deeper that we grow in love with him, the more, again, that we experience his agape love. For what purpose? So that that love will overflow out of our lives to one another. That's the purpose of the Sabbath. And beloved, my challenge and my prayer is for us today as a church, that as we gather here, I pray that our hearts would desire that, that we would fully understand and know why we're here. You know, I think I shared this enough times with you, but when I first started going to church, I wasn't there for the right reasons. I was only there because I thought Marisa was fooling around on me and using church as an excuse. I wasn't there seeking Jesus. And there are a lot of people today who are going to church and have no reason, no understanding why they're in church. It's just something that we've done all throughout my life. And I pray that that's not so with any of us. That you fully understand the purpose of why we meet. And this is not a social club. This is not just, hey, I got an hour and a half to kill. That's if Pastor Jerry's good on his timing. I pray that we would understand that the purpose of us meeting as a church is for all of us to learn how not to sin. That as we open up God's word, that as we read it, as we pray over it, as we ask the Lord to be our teacher, that he's the one explaining his very word to us. And as we learn it, that we would apply it. It's not that we just highlight in our Bible, but to live it. You know, yesterday we had a celebration of life for a dear brother, Jerry Tucker. And testimony after testimony, this brother loved the Lord. And every person that shared of a story of who he is, who he was, man, it just brought joy to my heart that I had the blessing of knowing him, of serving alongside of him, and to know that he's no longer suffering, that he's received his reward from the Lord. But it didn't happen overnight. His heart was open. His desire was to know God and that everything that he would do glorified God. Now, he wasn't perfect. He was a Cardinals fan. We heard that. But his desire was to honor the Lord, that as he learned, he lived it. And can I ask the question, is that you? Why are you here? Because I pray it would be to know Jesus. And as we know Jesus, again, we're following through with what this day was meant to be, a day of worship, a day for us to set aside, a day for us to forget the stuff that happened yesterday, the things that are going on in the week, that we would set those things aside so that we can now come and hear from God. Because I don't know about you, but I sure love to be able to rest in the Lord today. I know for a fact that when we are throughout the middle of our week, if we are working a six-day week, we do look forward to that day of rest. But it's not just the physical. It's being able to set that time aside so we can be with the Lord to be refreshed. Because I guarantee you, the more that we love Jesus, the more we're going to love people. The natural result of agape love going out into this world, it has to start with God first. When you love God, the natural result is you're going to love people. How do I know this? This is what the scripture says in Mark chapter 12, verse 30 to 31. and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Isn't that awesome? God gave 10. Jesus said, here's the new way. There's only two. Love God, and you'll learn to love people. So that's what the Sabbath was meant to do. Now, why were the Pharisees so upset? Because Jesus, again, in their perspective, allowed his own disciples, his own students, to work on a day of rest. That's what they saw. They were accusing Jesus of breaking the law as well. And I want us to remember that the Pharisees were good at adding to God's law. Remember, as we've been going through this, we've discovered that they made all of these other laws and regulations in order how not to break God's law. So on this specific day called the Sabbath, listen to this, they came up with 39 other rules on how not to break, do not work on the Sabbath. Come on now, is that really necessary? Think about that, 39 of them. I want to share a few of them with you, okay? Listen to this. You cannot wash your clothes. You work 6 days a week. They didn't have the privilege like we did, like we do today, to change clothing. Can you imagine? I'll give you a challenge. Wear your clothes for the next 6 days. You're like, oh, no, thank you, Pastor. Couldn't work on that day. You couldn't do this because that was considered work. You could not start a fire or put a fire out because that was considered work. Here's one. You couldn't take a bath. You want to know why? Because as you wash yourself, the water would drip down to the floor, and if the floor got cleaned, that means you were working. How about this one? You could not carry anything out in public. For example, ladies, no purses. Some of you men, amen. Need to go back to some biblical days. Right? You couldn't even carry a wallet, keys, backpack, nothing. Because that was considered work, carrying a heavy load. You could not drag a chair. Why? Because the leg could make a divot in the ground, and that would mean you're trying to plow a field. You're trying to sow some seed. It's like, are you kidding me? Here's one. You could not take more than 3,000 steps. What happens if you forget what number you're on? How frustrating is that? God forbid if you were to break your arm, can't get any help on the Sabbath, you have to wait the next day. Because then you would require somebody else to wrap it, which is work. Couldn't buy anything. Ooh, I'm pushing some buttons now. You can go to Cracker Barrel after service. Huh? Can't buy anything. You're causing people to work. I share these with you because I think all of us chuckle and laugh and go, how ridiculous. But this is what they came up with. Do this, and you're going to honor God. And that's far from it. Because God never intended this day to be a burden. God intended the Sabbath to be a day of rest and worship. And again, can you imagine how freaked out people would be? Oh man, I did forget how many steps I took. Or if you walk out of the house like many of us do without even thinking, and you have your wallet in your pocket, keys on the side. Instead of it being a blessing, it would become a frustration and a burden. But here's the truth, beloved. Though in the eyes of the Pharisees, they looked at Jesus and his disciples as breaking the law, but the truth is, they didn't break any of God's law. How do we know this? because everything that I just mentioned to you was the religious leaders making up these rules for the sake of not breaking God's rule, God's command. In their eyes, these fellas broke four of their rules: picking in another man's field, rubbing their hands together, blowing the chaff, eating the grain. What laws did they break? Work, threshing, winnowing, and preparing a meal. Just because they did this and ate. How do we know that they didn't break any of God's law? According to Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 25, it says that God actually allowed people, listen carefully, he allowed people to go to their neighbor's field and be able to pick grain from them and eat. What were they not allowed to do? To take a bag and a tool. That's stealing. For the modern day millennial, that's untraditional shopping. Okay? You can't steal. You can't take more than the immediate need. You can go and pluck and eat, and it's fine. Just don't take a tool. Don't take everything from your neighbor. If you're hungry, it's okay. And of course, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 10, this is how I love God's word, because God himself commanded every person who has a field not to harvest it completely. You were called to leave all of the outside alone. Don't harvest it. Why? Because it was intended for the widows and the poor and the strangers who were traveling through, that they would at least have something to eat before they go on to their next destination. I love this about God's word. There's always a purpose for everything. And notice the love from the widows to the poor to the stranger. God's love was demonstrated in his law. And so for us today, how do we equate that? Whenever you see a big 50-gallon blue bucket or barrel in whether the East Commons or the West Commons, when we have a food drive, what is that for? To feed those that are in need. When God blesses us, we have the ability to bless other people. And I don't think I need to explain this to anybody. Times are getting harder. And if God has blessed you and you see those barrels out, whether it's here or at Walmart or wherever, you can even call up Switchpoint, the Utah Food Bank. Hey, what do you guys need? They'll give you a list. This is how we give back. This is how God's love touches us, to think of others and give. And so we know that the disciples didn't break any of God's law. But whose law did they break? Again, the Pharisees. Now I want you to notice Jesus' response to them in verse 25. Jesus says, "Have you never read?" And I love this. What was Jesus doing? Two things. Number one, pointing them back to the scriptures. It's the best thing we can do whenever somebody has a disagreement with you. Don't give them your opinion. Point them to the Word of God. But the second thing he did was when he says, "Have you not read?" In other words, Jesus is saying, for somebody who is so religious, you should know this. But apparently, you must not understand. Apparently, you may have forgotten. Maybe you skimmed over it. How many of us have been guilty of that? Wake up in the morning, you read one line, forget it. You open it back up, and then you read another. Okay, I like this one better than the other one. Listen, have you never read? And what does Jesus do? He points them back to a true live account that they should have been aware of, and it's with David. David, the one who was known after God's own heart, the one who fled from Saul. This account takes place in 1 Samuel chapter 21, I believe. But David is fleeing from Saul, and he goes to the high priest, and the high priest is the one who gives them the showbread to eat for him and his men. Now, for those of you who may not know what the showbread is, listen, inside the tabernacle or the temple, in the holy place, there was a table where 12 loaves of bread would sit for a week. For what purpose? This was a demonstration, or it had a symbolic meaning. The 12 loaves meant the 12 tribes of Israel, but those loaves represented dependency upon God to provide for them. So as they would place this bread on this table, it was not touched for 7 days. After that, then only the priest could eat it. No one else. That was God's law. But notice, Jesus pointed them back to this because on that day, the high priest showed compassion. And he gave this bread to David and his men because there was an immediate need. And this is what I want us to understand. God didn't condemn this priest because the priest actually demonstrated compassion. So what was Jesus' point in bringing this story out to these religious leaders? Human need is more important than your man-made laws and regulations. Jesus wanted them to understand, go back and read it. Go back and see the compassion. Go back and read in Leviticus. Go back and read in Deuteronomy, all of these things that God set forth. My disciples aren't breaking any of God's laws. And in verse 27, notice this. Because Jesus spoke truth to these religious leaders, the next thing he says is the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. See, Jesus was pointing out to these religious leaders, though you may have read this, you truly don't understand what you've read. You missed it. And I think if we're all honest, how many of us have misunderstood God's word? I mean, we're not going to be perfect. But Jesus wanted them to look at the right source in order for them to gain the truth. Because if they knew what God's word said and they knew what the Sabbath meant, then they would have walked away knowing that it was never meant to be a burden. They would have known they didn't need to make all of these 39 other rules to follow. They would have known that this day was intended to draw hearts closer to God and to rest in Him, to spend time with Him. You know, one of the things that I pray that we would see through this, I think many of us pray, God, I just want to know you. I think many of us in here are sincere in our walk with the Lord, and we want to walk in obedience to His word. And we may pray it, but the thing that we don't do is apply it. What do I mean by that? It's like we can wake up in the morning and read God's word, and then we can close our Bible, but then the rest of the day we're not meditating, we're not asking God to give us understanding, we're not asking God to show us how this applies to our life, and we're just reading it as if it's a newspaper. Some of us, I really want this, but if you really want to know God's heart, then you got to spend time with Him. And it's more than just what you do in the morning or if your quiet time is in the evening. You know, I don't know everybody's heart in here, but I think I'm safe to say this. You know, what drew you, for the men, what drew you to asking your wife before you were married, what drew you to asking her hand in marriage? Was it after she said, hello? Was it, you know, oh, you had one date and you just knew? I don't think so. is that if I can just share with you, Marisa and I talked for hours. I think, as a matter of fact, I fell asleep on the phone with her one time because we were just on the phone breathing. Not talking about anything, just, you there? Yeah, I'm still here. You sleepy? Kinda. You hang up first. No, you hang up. Guilty people laughing. I love it. I'm not the only one. But it, conversation about everything and anything. And sometimes even about nothing. And being with each other and not wanting to separate and just being with each other and spending hours led to, will you marry me? Didn't happen overnight. And that's the same with our Lord. I'm glad if you are praying, Lord, I want more of you, then give him your heart. And let him come and teach you what it means to walk with him. And today, even though this isn't a command for us, remember, this was God's law given to the Jewish people. He never gave it to the church. But it sure is a good practice. And I pray that we would not only take this day and just give God an hour and a half, but how about more throughout your day? How about more of putting everything aside and letting God speak to us? Because that's what he wants to do while we're here. Jesus wanted these Pharisees to know, this is an opportunity for you to draw closer to God. And when you give God your heart and he fills it with him, then the natural overflow is going to be, you are going to give people Jesus. And in verse 28, he says, therefore, because of this truth, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. How does Jesus have the right to say that? I would direct you to John chapter 1, verse 14, where it tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So what is Jesus saying here as he drops the mic? I have the authority to say this because this is my word. I'm the one who created this. Jesus wanted these religious leaders to know, this day, take your eyes off of what you think is God's word and put it on God's word. And beloved, what do I pray is our takeaway from this message? If you consider Calvary your home church, if you consider yourself to be a follower of Christ, please understand as family, all of us in here are on different levels of our relationship with the Lord. There may be some in here who have been walking with the Lord for years and years, and there may be some brand new believers in here, a week old. And if you're an older saint, let me rephrase that, an advanced saint, and God has ministered and God has spoken to your life and God's doing a great work, don't put your level of understanding on a person who is just coming to know the Lord. And can I also tell you that even though you've been walking with the Lord, I've seen some people who have just started in their relationship with the Lord more on fire than those who have been walking with the Lord. We're all in different levels. But here's the truth. Focus on the majors. Focus on what matters most. Don't be petty. Hey, bro. Saw you drinking at the bar. Now that's not a good place to be. But if he's just a brand new believer and accepted the Lord yesterday, give him some time. Encourage him to give his heart to the Lord. Let the Lord deliver him from that, not you. How many of us have ever seen people arguing over things that are non-essential? Hey, I'm just going to tell it like it is. during COVID, Satan didn't have to bring anything about the gospel. He used a stupid mask to cause division in the church. A non-essential. You know, today, some of you in here have a love for Jesus. And I pray that you would hear my heart with this, because I think as we love the Lord, sometimes we make the mistake of not representing him properly. That we could too sometimes be like the Pharisees and, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. And if there are things that our brothers and sisters aren't doing, we need to learn how to love them and encourage them to do what is right. I pray that we would be a family that is extending grace and understanding and knowing that if God is going to do a work in our hearts, let him be the one doing it. You or me are not the third person in the Trinity, okay? It's just not. But the best thing that we can do is pray, lift them up into God's hands, love them enough not to cancel them, not to cut them off, but to be available to speak truth. And there's been a lot of people today who call themselves believers that aren't representing God properly. You know, we are living in a time right now where we are going to be challenged. There are so many topics right now that are going around that are causing division. All of the transgender stuff that's happening. I don't know how many of you are frustrated because of the month of June, seeing rainbows everywhere. Don't let it get under your skin. Redeem it. Explain to people what the rainbow really means. We call ourselves a non-denominational church. If you guys don't know what that means anybody can come to this church. So if our doors are open and somebody comes in here who is flaunting a different lifestyle than us, than what's according to the Bible, what better place for them to be? Because if we are shutting the doors from them hearing the truth, where are they going to hear it? And I'm not saying we're going to embrace the lifestyle, but if you come into this place, this is God's house. And because it's God's house, God's word's going to be preached. And I think we as a church haven't quite done a good job in representing the Lord properly. Let me give you an example. One of the books that I have up in my office by Greg Laurie is a book entitled Make God Known. It's a book on how to share your faith. And in the book, Greg Laurie shares an example of him when he was in Hawaii. Now, how many of you know who Greg Laurie is? You guys know? Okay, some believe he may be the next Billy Graham, but he's an amazing evangelist. He was in Hawaii on vacation, and on the street corner, a guy had a sign that said, "The wages of sin is death," and Greg Laurie explains in his book that the guy took more joy in expressing people are going to hell as he held up his sign and yelled at people. And Greg Laurie said he walked up to him and said, "Hey, I'm a believer too, and can you consider presenting the full gospel?" He says, "You're only declaring one truth. Give the full truth. Maybe on the back of your sign you should have, 'But the gift of God, the gift of eternal life is through Jesus Christ.' And flip it around every now and then." And the guy looked at him and said, "You're going to hell. Get out of here." See, people may have the right heart, but they're not always representing Christ the right way. How many people have we seen standing and protesting in front of Planned Parenthood buildings? May have the right heart, but are they delivering the right message? Listen, we understand and know how important life is, and we want to pray for those people. And we do want to make a stand when we have opportunities to vote against these facilities that are open. But I do pray that we would handle these situations in a way that is going to open up the door to express not only truth, but again, love. Because Jesus came, we weren't all perfect. We didn't have it all together. Despite our flaws, he reached out to us. Again, it's going to hit. And it's going to hit us hard. And my challenge to us is the same thing that Jesus did here. Direct people, because many of them don't know. Many of them have never read. But if we're pointing them to Jesus and pointing them to his word and giving them truth and not our opinion, and then the way that we deliver it, I pray that that is the door that God will use to let people know we may not agree with your lifestyle and your choices, but we want you to know the truth. What you are living is against God's word. It's an attack on what? On what God began in the very beginning of the Bible. There is only male and female. God created them. There's nothing else. There's no other gender. This is not my opinion. It's God's word. Why do we as a church not embrace same-sex marriages? Because it's against God's creation of marriage. God created marriage to be sacred. Husband, wife, no other. It's God's word that we want you to see. Does God love them? Yes. Does God desire for them to hear the truth? Yes. So it's our responsibility to deliver it and deliver it with grace. And so my prayer today is, as Jesus was willing enough to say, let me tell you why my disciples aren't in sin. Let me tell you why I believe what I believe. And let the word of God speak, because it is only the word of God that's going to transform people's lives. Not us arguing. Not us disrespecting. Not us yelling at people. Not us beating them over the head with our Bible. It is God and God alone who converts the heart. All he's asking of us is to present it that brings him honor. That's what I pray we would take away from today's message. You want to be a light? Speak truth and love. And God opens up the door, because if we ever want to see our nation changed, it's not going to be so much of what we yell, but how we live. And as we live for the Lord, our light shines, and Lord willing, others will be drawn. What's up with you? And when people genuinely give the Lord their heart, like I said earlier, the natural overflow is going to be, we're going to love people. So today's like this, where we gather as a church, are important. And I pray that you never take this for granted, because this is where God wants to speak to us in order to give us a time of refreshing, a time of us knowing him, and a time for us to be empowered to go out and live for him. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for this day. And I want to thank you again for your word and just for blessing us with an opportunity to be in your presence. Jesus, we understand and know that you died a death that you didn't deserve. But it was all for a purpose, and that was to give us life, to set us free from sin. And I ask right now, Lord, that you would continue to speak to our hearts and help all of us, no matter how many years we've been walking with you, we're still a work in progress. So may we focus on what matters most. May we focus on presenting the cure of sin, and that is you, Jesus, believing in your death and resurrection on the cross. That's why it's so important for us to understand why we believe what we believe. For it is your word that sets people free from sin. And I pray that as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if there's anybody in here this morning that has never given Jesus their heart, that you would have an opportunity. And I pray that if God has been speaking to your heart this morning, that you would be willing to respond. When a person confesses that they've sinned and they believe in what Jesus did on the cross, the Bible's promise, God's promise, is that you will be saved from that penalty of sin. So in order for us to get right with God, we have to first deal with our sin. And when we do that, then the promise comes of being delivered and set free, that we would be saved. So if this is you this morning, I want to encourage you. As I shared earlier, you don't have to clean yourself up to come to God. Come as you are. And God is the one who cleans us up. So if there's anybody here this morning who would love to dedicate their life to the Lord, to commit to receiving this truth, I want to invite you to raise your hand. I want to encourage you that God loves you and He has a desire to spend all eternity with you. Father, I want to thank you so much for this day, and I thank you for just allowing us to have your word in our hands. And I pray that as we leave this place, that we, Lord, would walk out of here being refreshed, being encouraged. Lord, we want more of you. So help us today to always have an open and a teachable heart. Thank you, Jesus, for providing life, for delivering us from sin, and giving us a new life. I pray, God, that you would bless every single father, that you would give them the wisdom, the strength to lead their families, to be the spiritual men that, God, you've called us to be. I pray that our heart's desire would be to keep raising up our kids in your ways. Help us to serve our wives and to love them as you love the church. Help us to be a voice of truth in the midst of chaos. Help us to be men who will not back down, but to stand forth, stand firm in the gospel message. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.